Colin, thoughts on the season as a whole? Obviously a tough out, falling in four games to sweep with Calgary, but a season that's had a lot of ups and downs, and just speaking with Tyler Carr, it was one of the wilder seasons he's been a part of here.
Yeah, it was, you know, one of my proudest seasons we've had here. So, you know, going out in four games is not what we drew up on the whiteboard, but and we were playing a much older, better, deeper team, and a team that's built to win now. I think they played a lot like we did last couple of years when we had our old like D first, gave you nothing. Like, I don't think we got a single gift all series. Like, they just played flawlessly. So hats off to them. We knew we were outmanned. We had an average roster age of about 17 and a half. We were already extremely young and then missing a 20-year-old. It was just probably not in the cards to beat a team built like that. And, you know, and we're one puck away from hosting Edmonton in the first round, which I think we would have had a good chance to win that series. So, in fact, we would have been 1-2 in the conference had we both won our last game. So it's a really tough first round. But overall, I'm just absolutely thrilled with the year from our coach, Dan Da Silva, and the amazing job he did facing the adversity we did with the roster changes, the youth, everyone doubting us, and to be one puck away from, you know, you're 3-3 in the final game with a questionable penalty with 3 minutes left to lose that game to win the division. I mean, that's, you can't ask for much more. I said we had 204 meaningful periods, and that's a lot more than a lot of people thought we would have had this year, plus playoffs. So overjoyed with how they did, and there's no rebuild. So we go on trying to win a division next year, and we think we have a good shot to do it.
It's part of my job, and yet I don't wish I didn't do it, and that is reading comments on fan websites and responses to your Facebook page. Did you ever consider not making the deals that you made just before the trade deadline?
No, I promised the fans here years ago, it's not my first rodeo around here, that we would never do anything to put the team in peril for a long term and have another 5-year rebuild like with the team we bought. And we promised them that they would have, they had a unbelievable run to watch the last couple of years, and everyone thought there would be a couple of years of out of the playoffs and misery, and they all got to see a potential banner hung, you know, up until the last night of the year. So it didn't matter what our record was at Christmas. We weren't going to sacrifice 3-4 months or one extra playoff round to not build this thing properly back up. And yeah, to anyone, I don't read comments anymore for my mental health. That just doesn't, there's no point. If someone wants to email me something thoughtful, I'll always respond. But I don't go on that stuff. But I would just say to anyone, we had an extremely young team that almost won the division, and I feel like we're one of the favorites to win the division again next year. And there's no rebuild after having the best team in the league. So I'm pretty proud of the job we've done.
If you had to pick between the draft picks you got back and the prospect you got back from those few days between the end of Christmas and January the 10th, what are you most happy with? The guys that you have right now on the ice or the draft picks that you now have?
Well, we wouldn't have done either without both. Mm-hmm. Like, they couldn't have overwhelmed us with way more draft picks with no prospects, and we wouldn't have done it with just all four more great prospects or something. It had to be both, so they're equal to me. You know, I can't say I'm not really excited to go into a draft with the first 2 seconds and, mm-hmm. you know, draft picks again, because the chart was so barren that it didn't even take up a third of my wall that I built for it. And then next year having Prince George's first rounder, and they lose a lot of good players. So and that's probably the best. The next year's draft, a year from now, is probably the best draft I've seen in 10 years. Like, many of the players who are first-year 13-year-olds are the best players on their teams right now, and there's tons of them. So that's a really exciting one, too. But, we wouldn't have done it without all the guys that we got, Lang, Harsanyi, Kachkowski, these types of guys that have made big differences. And all those guys contributed to us almost winning the division. So I think Lang outscored Reich mm-hmm. in here than Reicher did in PG. And he's a year younger, and we got a first and something else in prospects. So those are the deals that really pay off in the end. So
the injuries that you had allowed you to bring some APs up, and so we get a little bit of a sneak peek at what some of the guys that are probably going to be on the team next year look like. Who are you most excited to see in a Blaze jersey next season?
There's many, honestly. We had that camp here with 17 kids that were, a lot of them were signed, and then there was a few that weren't signed that were better than almost anyone. I think of 108, Ben Botello came in and was just unbelievable, and then he he single-handedly basically led that whole score midget league in scoring in the prep league to win that playoff. And his like a December 20th birthday, I think, for an 08. He was extremely exciting to watch. So he's a guy that would like to see have a good chance to make this team. He's not signed yet, but that wouldn't be. That's someone. Jagger John had an unbelievable year, and he's extremely skilled. Halat, Moreland are American, and then we have a whole bevy of defensemen at 08. So there's a lot of guys I'm really excited to see, but there's a limited amount of spots. We could return the exact forward core we played last night, all 12 guys. So if we want to. So that being said, there's going to be room for some new blood to come in. So it's going to be the most competitive camp we've ever had, because there's also Americans that we had no prospect of getting that are now calling, asking, you know, what does it look like? What would my role look like? And there's some pretty good players on that list.
There's Canadians that were playing Junior A this year that, again, we're looking to go NCAA, now thinking, maybe I want to play in the Western Hockey League. Could you be bringing in guys like that for next year?
I haven't looked down that path as much, because we have so much depth at 08 and 09 that there's almost too many bodies right now. But if there's someone that stands out, we have a couple Americans that we drafted in the U.S. draft that were guys that we took as like a very low chance they would ever come. Then the rule changed and it was like probably still not coming. And now we've talked to a few that are like might come, and one that's like very serious about coming. So that changes your whole dynamic if you can add a top line or second line player for no cost. So it's going to be very competitive. And then I would expect this year's preseason will be, you don't have to sign a player to play in preseason anymore. So you're going to have a bunch of camp invites, like going out to war against PA in the preseason. Like, we might not play some of our veterans for the first two or three games just because we know what they're about. But like, these 14 guys, four of them are going to make the team. Like, go at it. I don't care where you were drafted or if you're signed or not. It's going to be who's the best player in that month. So in some ways, our league could get a little older, because it might just be like some 17-year-olds that are just not going to play as rookies anymore. You're going to play as 18-year-old rookies because you can grab an American that's a little bit better.
Just for you guys, how important was it for especially the young guys to get this playoff experience? I know it didn't end how you guys wanted, but obviously, you know, your team was competitive up all the way until the end.
Yeah, I think it's a feather in their cap that they hung in every game. They probably didn't deserve to win any of the games. They deserved maybe a better fate on this goals for and against. Like, didn't get a lot of, and credit to Calgary, we didn't get a whole lot accomplished on them because they're very good, but you'd love to see a defenseman like just fall or something at some point and give you a breakaway or something. Didn't get that, but that's a testament to our team that looks like they're ready to compete for a championship. But yeah, like I was talking, doing exit interviews today with a guy like Klimke, and you know what a year he had as a late birthday 07. So you know, he recently just turned 17 and it's his draft year next year, but you know, you see the tears in his eyes after that series, and you know, his words were like, what a humbling series it was. Like, how he, you know, you have a year where you're a rookie, no one knows who you are, you get like 25, 30 points, you go plus 20, and then you get humbled in the playoffs where three or four goals are just like a big strong man takes the puck off you, and you're like, but someone like him, that's just fueling him now, as to like, I now know where I'm at and where I thought I was here. I'm here and I'm gonna try and get to here. And it takes a special personality like that. But we have lots of guys who were humbled by that series, seeing how good those guys were and how heavy and old they were, and what you have to do to win. So they're much better for the experience. I wish it was five or six games, but I mean, we just drew the wrong end of the stick on that team. That was a tough battle for us. Yeah, it's extremely rare for an NHL team to keep a 19-year-old. I can't think of the last time that happened, a 19-year-old of any type in the NHL as a goalie. So yeah, we fully expect him back. Would he be back the first game of the year? It may be a little later. Maybe he gets a few more games in the minors just to check him out. But yeah, we've got obviously three goalies that we really like, and that's going to be one of the key things over the next 6 months that we have to figure out.
It was brought up before that. Have you been given any indication on how the expansion draft is going to work here in about a month's time, and then the team's, you know, outlook heading into that process?
Yeah, you know, we're going to be able to protect somewhere in the range of 15 or 16 players out of our 50, not including 09s. So the guys we just drafted, who are 14, just 15 years old, not eligible to play this year, they'll be excluded from that. But other than that, you'd probably get to protect, you know, let's say 16 players from your whole list. So just signed 08s plus goalies, I think we're at 11. So, I mean, you're going to lose a good player. There's no doubt about it. And There's also the opportunity, though, to make a deal with Penticton. I haven't spoken to them yet, but I will over the next few weeks, just to see if there's... We get to protect six players on our college list as well. And, you know, there may be multiple guys on that list that may be looking to come to our league. Maybe there's a fit there where, you know, we'd rather move a player potentially that, even if they're good, that we haven't spent years developing and don't have the relationship with, whereas it's someone that's a good player that we love and have had for a year or two. I don't want to lose a lot of those guys. So we'll all lose one, and I'm sure no one's going to be happy losing one. But, you know, it's my job to protect the, you know, most strategically to who I think are the most valuable. Whether we think they're the best 16 or not really is irrelevant. It's who I think they're going to take. So, or we can make a deal. We'll be reasonable if they want to do that for a draft pick. We have some extras now. So happy to go down that alley. If not, we'll lose a solid player.
What do you make of the expansion to the WHL? Obviously, there's Penticton next year, and sounds like Chilliwack in a couple of years' time. Do you think it's a good thing for the league?
I do. I mean, I think it's two great markets. We're not adding little kind of tiny markets with, you know, no fan base and revenue. It's a huge valuation for everybody around the league to show that it's the values of these franchises are extremely healthy right now, and that's a good thing for every club around the league, because there was a few sales during the COVID time where, I mean, there were pennies on the dollar because of the uncertainty in the market, and now you're establishing in the OHL a benchmark number that they won't even sell a team pretty much for under a certain number. That's very high, and there's wealthy dudes that want to get in this league and they want to pay a bunch of money to do it. And I think with the player pool expanding, like with all these Americans that are going to have those gap years before college, the fact that we lose a player, we're going to get more than a player from that. So I'm not, I mean, it'll suck to lose a player. I don't want to lose anyone, but we're going to gain two or three players from the U.S. just alone or Junior A.
The news about expansion was kind of leaky, came out early. Another one that's being leaky, that's getting out, is about the fact that next year teams will be allowed to have three imports on their team, which puts a very interesting spin on what you do going into the import draft.
Yeah, there's two drafts that are going to be really interesting. Like the import draft with three spots is going to be, I'm curious to see if every team just uses three Euros. Some might, like a lot of teams, their second Euro never doesn't quite hit, like, or they just don't. You know, they're not doing anything that a kid from Manitoba can do. And it's way more expensive and all that to have them over here and more of a curve and all that stuff for learning language. I'm curious if people maybe just swing for a home run maybe on some of those picks and say, like, if you're coming, great, you're an all-star. If you're not, then we're okay too. We did that with Lewandowski and it worked out really well. So, and then the U.S. draft is another interesting one because, honestly, I felt more it was like a marketing draft before just to try and, like, show the U.S. we existed. And now, like... If you're picking first overall in the U.S. draft, like you're getting an elite player that's as good as number one or two, maybe not Maddox Schultz, but you're getting a good player that's like top of the first round level. If you're picking eighth overall in the U.S. draft, you're getting a guy that's like first round WHL draft level. So that'll be really cool. Like you're getting players that want to come. And the only danger is if they make the national development team, you may not want to take a spot on someone that goes there and then goes to college at 18 from there. So you want to take a really good player, but not like an extremely good player. So we're trying to figure out like who those kids are in the U.S. and how they compare to a kid from like New Jersey or something. So that's kind of our task over the next few weeks to kind of figure out who we think the best American who will still come is. But it's going to be a very high crop of players. So that's exciting. And so you have like two first rounds really back to back.
Have you heard from Bruce Hamilton, the man that has a team hosting a Memorial Cup and was in last place this past year? I mean, it's a very interesting situation for them needing to really rebuild that team to be competitive for Memorial Cup.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him personally in a little while, but like we get along great and I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's got somewhere of upwards of 9 first-round picks he can use. Mm-hmm. You got the 4 you can use that we can all use, and then the day the draft starts, you have access to the 2029 first, so that's 5. And then you got a first or two for Crystal, you got another one for Price. Like, if you have 9 first round picks, you're going to be able to get some good players. And I'm pretty sure he's going to use them because he wants to be competitive and he's a smart guy. So he did that for a reason. So I don't know. If I had 9 first round picks to use right now, I could find some talent. It might cost a little more, but hey, maybe there's a situation where there's guys that are going to college and the only way they would stay is to go on a Mem Cup run. And Kelowna calls that team and says, don't have a lot of options. You can get nothing for your guy leaving early, or you can give us, we'll give you something decent for him, but maybe not a home run price. And those teams have to consider what they're going to do. So Bruce will do awesome. I'm not worried about that, but he hasn't called about any of our guys. No. We want to win.
Exactly.
I don't want to sell anymore.